dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers.
To the hackers and the crackers.
I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, sitting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack.
Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISO, RAM, SIP, SIP. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Live from the middle of nowhere on Interstate 5 in the Central Valley of California, it's Binary Revolution Radio.
Episode 108. Aren't we amazing? Like, we've done 108 episodes.
Well, wow.
Well, technically,
I feel like I have accomplished something amazing.
Yeah, today's air date is the 9th, I think it would be? Yeah, tomorrow's the 9th.
Yeah.
Well, today's the
8th. I'm driving, so don't make me hit my wristwatch.
Yeah, so technically we can say it's the, you know, we're all confused here. Sean's heading back from Linux World in San Francisco and some VoIP developer conference, and so we also caught on G.I. Joe here today, so you could tell we're desperate, right, G.I. Joe?
Yeah, that shows you need someone.
Also, because I'm driving and I'm on a mobile phone, I apologize in advance for the horrendous GSM compression being done to my voice, and for any background noise and honking and swearing and eating and drinking that you may hear.
Yes, he has the bottle of Johnny Walker right next to him. He's taking random swigs while he's headed down. Because, you know, it's California. They do that out there. And there's, like, people driving by with guns. And it's amazing out there.
It's pure anarchy. It's delicious.
I saw L.A. Story. I know exactly how it works.
Oh, yes, because L.A. Story is completely accurate to real life.
Exactly. I know it is. I saw it in the movies. It has to be true.
Yeah,
right?
That sounds more like
And it's always sunny and 72 degrees in California, or in Los Angeles.
That's the truth.
All right, so let's sort of delve into our housekeeping this week. First off, I'd like to send out a congratulations. Congratulations to Telco Bob for being our note schmuck, note taker for replacing Logos X. You did a wonderful job while Stank's reign was in stream. We decided to take a break, so this week on the forums, I sent a shout out to people. I say, you know, we need a note taker. And basically, Telco Bob proved most worthy, mainly because he was, you know, the first one there. And people sent in note samples, and very, very nice, and I finally chose Telco Bob because his note sample was the best. And I think Booter and Right Coast, I believe, were the other two, and they sent in two very good entries, but just sadly, I Telco Bob was the first, and they were all very good entries, but Telco Bob was the first, so we chose him instead. However, they got their own little
portions. No, it should be merit-based, not time-based. So
it was merit based. They were all equal, so I went on who responded first.
Ah, okay. There we go.
Oh, sorry. I'm sort of stumbling over.
Yes. You can tell that I am taking an extraordinarily active role in the production of the show, and I don't even know how they always selected our new note taker.
Well, we just have you here because you're hot.
Yes. Everyone wants
my hot. We saw you. We're going to see you in the Men of DEF CON calendar. We actually didn't mention that last week, did we?
Oh, yes. No, we didn't. Maybe we did. I don't remember.
No, I don't think we did. I don't think we mentioned the...
There's a Men of DEF CON calendar coming out, and I'm in it, shirtless.
Yes, there's photos up on my website of Strom's photo shoot, and it's quite disturbing of the photos I took, but I took it anyway. He's there, you know, half naked, laying on a table with his
holding a bus set.
Yeah.
With a bus set and with stickers all over me.
Yeah, the photo I took, he did not have the butt set on, but please explain what your photo looks like so we can get all of our two female listeners can get excited.
Oh, yeah. Well, not just the female ones, also the gay ones.
Yeah, true. Pardon me.
Yes. So there are several photos. I'm not sure which one they're going to pick. One of them is me just lying shirtless on the table with a DEF CON sticker on my shoulder, if I remember correctly. And the other one is me standing shirtless at a payphone with the butt sets and my belt and some hard hats, and I'm kind of clipping into the hidden wires underneath the payphone and smiling mischievously.
Are you always smiling mischievously, Lo?
Yes, but this time, especially so. There's a second photograph of my butt set, which I'm not in, but which is somewhat more disturbing. It's a guy using my butt set as nipple clamps.
Ow. I don't want to see that photo. I really don't. Like, every time you say it, I just really start clenching my chest.
Well, that's the truth. And some people like nipple clamps. So, a shout out to all of you who enjoy nipple clamps. I certainly do.
I certainly don't either. Anyway, moving right along, enough about nipple clamps for this episode. We filled our nipple clamp quotient.
I think I'm just going to randomly pop up at random points during the show and mention nipple clamps.
No, because we've hit our quota. That's what it is, not quotient. I guess I'm tired. I don't know. I'm kind of stumbling over words here more than usual. Sort of the next topic for housekeeping is we sent out shouts out last week to see who is our youngest person out there, and so far we have a listener who is 12. However, he did send his real name, I have his real name for his email, but he did not sign anything, so I'm not going to mention his name. If you want your handle or name sent out there, you know, just email us and we can send it out next week. But he is 12, and I'd like to congratulate him on being 12. I guess I don't know. Can you be congratulated for not being old?
Yes, you can. You can be congratulated for being young. So congratulations for being young and listening to the best internet radio show ever.
In the world.
In the world.
Bah.
Or as DEF CON, my phone would say, in the world.
We also had a couple people out there who were just under the 13 mark. Well, technically they were just over. Like, I had two or three people complain to me that they missed the mark by about 2 or 3 weeks. So I guess if we sent that shout out on episode 105 or something, we would get more responses. But oh well, tough life. And I'm going to follow in Stank Dog's footstep next because I have a rant. And it's a rant about 2600, so I'm going to step on a few people's toes for my first rants. So,
oh boy, a rant!
Yes, are we excited? G.I. Joe is just sitting there going, I'm just going to sit here silent and listen to these two fools.
What's going on? I'm just waiting for the time in the discussion when...
You can interject at any time. I tell you this. You are a co-host, so you can just sort of shout out, tell me that I'm stupid, tell Strom that he's stupid, but I won't be held responsible for that.
Hey, look at this. If I exist here, I can go to Maricopa.
I love
know why I want to go to Maricopa.
I love that GSM delay.
Yes.
That's another downside about GSM. It's delays. It delays about a half a second.
Yes.
Anyway, you were saying, G.I. Joe?
Mobile phones suck, and if you don't like listening to me, then please send in your email and tell me never, never, never to do the show from a mobile phone again.
Yeah, well I think Natus did a show from a payphone and a mobile phone, so, and plus Stank always did the show via the speakerphone and the VoIP, so there was a nice, you know, always half-second delay between him and the speakerphone. So it's usual, I guess. I'm not trying
anyway,
to knock Stank.
Let's get back on track.
Yes,
and hear Ratchet's rant.
Yeah, back to my rant. So So 2600 has a podcast, and I'm very happy that 2600 has a podcast because I can automatically download their episodes. And however, the problem is their titles always say new off the hook on the line. Now, new off the hook or new off the wall online. Now, for me, I like to archive the shows. I like, you know, I keep about 2 or 3 weeks on my iPod. And that makes it really, really, really annoying because all I see are all these MP3s labeled new off the hook on the line. New off the hook online. And that's just really annoying. And for some reason, I spent about a half hour today trying to find the episode because I have off the wall and everything else getting downloaded on there. They should really just make a nice off the hook podcast where it's just off the hook and it's actually labeled and it's labeled with episode numbers or what week or what date it was released. I like Binrev's podcast. It's Nick 84 did a wonderful job with it because I can look at it and I say, oh look, it's episode 105. That's the new regime. Here's the title of it. Here's who hosted it, and it's all right there, right on my podcast, and I can quickly dial to it on my iPod, and I can quickly dial to it, and I can grab it, and I can play it. Not so with Off the Hook. And it just, it really drives me batty today. I had to listen to, like, you know, 4 or 5 episodes, and it's always, you know, the stupid radio-free whatever it is that they have beforehand, because they never start correctly on time, which is understandable. I'm not ranting against that. But I had to listen to, like, you know, tons of people talking about how we're going to save the Earth and save the world and save the environment until I find out what episode it is. And 9 times out of 10, it's not the right one, and it really pisses me off. Oh, I felt good to get that off my chest. Okay, so let's go into the email theme here.
Email.
And that's going right in after the theme. So our first email is from Sean, and it says, "Hey folks, I've enjoyed listening to the show over the past month. It's not nearly as boring as some of the other podcasts that cover the same topics. However, you are starting to bore the shit out of me with some discussions lately. There seems to be a lot of Google is better than Yahoo, Yahoo is better than Google, iTunes is great, iTunes sucks. Really? It seems like filler. Just talk to fill up time. If a person is listening to your show, it's a given they know how to use a search engine or they know how to use iTunes. There isn't much revolution in BinRev. You guys should give yourself a challenge rather than falling on the same old stuff all the time. I realize the show has a pretty long history and most of the subjects have been brought up already, but the computer world marches on and there are new things happening all the time. Some of the things that have come up lately, major security flaws in Cisco routers, viruses already popping up for Microsoft Vista, a really stupid name, BioWolf clusters getting faster, etc. Some new tutorials for some new listeners would be nice too. How to set up a shell account, how to decompile software, how to make your PHP scripts more secure, and on and on and on. Also, a weekly challenge would be great. Something along the lines of, using Python, write a script that does this or that, or decrypt the code we put up on our website. I don't know, something fun to do each week. Anyway, I still do enjoy the show. Every once in a while, you guys talk about something interesting. Sean." Well, Sean, thanks for listening. I'm glad we're not too boring. We do try to keep it that way. However, I'd really like to disagree with your statement on, you know, people that listen who don't want to hear about your opinions on my opinions, Strom opinions, or other people's opinions on Yahoo, Google, iTunes, etc. You know, when I was a listener, I enjoyed when Stank would, you know, rail against some new Google feature that I enjoyed and he tells me it could be dangerous in some way, shape, or form. You know, the Mossad could track me down or some other such nonsense because he doesn't like Google for some reason. I don't know why. I always like, you know, it's always refreshing, at least for me, to hear someone's perspectives other than my own. I don't always agree with them, as you can possibly imagine, but, you know, they at least do get me thinking sometimes. It's just more of a matter of, you know, what you like and what you don't. One thing we're not trying to do, though, is just, we're not trying to turn this into a flash.rehash show. you know, you come in every week and you basically hear the same stories you've been reading on Slashdot or New York Times or something. Not that there's anything wrong with those shows. I'm not trying to knock anybody. But, you know, while some of the topics you suggested are neat, I really can't talk about how Windows Vista is because, you know, I've never used it before. I don't have a copy of it. I haven't broken into Microsoft. Bill hasn't sent me my, you know, filler CD yet, and I really don't want to rehash what I've just heard on forums and opinion sites and, you know, places that you could go and get it yourself, or other listeners could go and get it yourself, because apparently our listeners can use search engines. Haha. I mean, you know, however, as soon as I do, when I plop down and play with Vista, I'm sure I'm going to have some type of review, and I'm sure I'll be ranting about it on the next episode, because I'll be saying, I played with Vista. Isn't it wonderful? As for the weekly
challenge...
And also,
the other thing that comes to mind is, you know, in one section of the email, I forgot your name, but...
Sean.
What is the email? Sean. Hello, Sean. In one section of your email, you talk about how the topics we discuss are boring, and then the other section of the email, you suggest doing a tutorial on how to set up your own shell account. Well, it occurs to me that what's boring to one person might be interesting to another person. What might be interesting to another person may be horrifically boring to somebody else. So,
mm-hmm.
You know... So we try and keep it interesting, we try and keep it varied, and we're sorry if we go over topics that are, you know, really old or really dull to you, but to the majority of listeners, I think the topics we go over are interesting and exciting, and if nothing else, they do provide fresh perspective. So listeners out there in internet radio land want to hear certain topics, please, by all means, email us and let us know that you want to hear about them. And we will do some research, and we'll find out, and we'll try our best to get it on the show.
Yes, we have topics. This is not a content-free episode. I believe someone in the IRC channel, I can't pronounce his name, Tioxty or something. I'm sorry, I'm butchering your name. He essentially called last week.
Tioxty,
yes. It's... He called us last week. Was essentially we ended with a content IOU, which I found quite humorous. But there is content this week. We're going to go over, you know, just, you know, basics hackings, and basically we're going to try to answer, you know, quote, how do I become a hacker, and hopefully not fail miserably at it, because I actually did a lot of research on this episode and tried to organize my thoughts in some coherent manner.
And then you left the show notes to Robert.
Yeah, well, I was able to salvage them. I did leave them at my office. They're currently sitting on my C drive at my work computer, and because I had to boot out of there early because I completely lost track of time. G.I. Joe, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say Sean mentioned using exploits, talking about exploits and Cisco iOS and everything else. But what they have to remember is, we on the radio, you can't exactly go through the same detail as a technical paper, say on FRAC, could go through. Where can lay out expressly. This is kind of a lot more generally discussion based, and you can't necessarily go into extreme detail.
Indeed.
An example actually that comes to mind is our asterisk talk at DEF CON. You know, someone. It was generally regarded as a very good talk, and I forget who it was, but someone mentioned, I think to Beeve, that our talk didn't go into nearly enough detail. And the problem is, really, if you're in a conversational type of format where you're talking to people, you can't really go into that much technical detail unless your audience is a bunch of people that you know to be really hardcore technical people. You know, a lot of people will listen to the show just for the banter and the content, and then, you know, an overview of things that might be interesting to them. And so witty banter. And so if we do end up going into, you know, for two reasons. One, if we end up going into really, you know, gritty detail about something, then we're probably going to bore more than two-thirds of the audience here. And the second thing is, you know, at least for me, I don't want to go into any sort of technical detail unless I am completely sure that I'm going to be accurate.
Indeed. And also, you know, talking about setting, we're also going back to an example of setting up the shell account. I mean, I really don't want to spend half a show spelling out Unix commands. So,
yeah.
Welcome to
Unix Command Radio.
He did bring up
episode 103, the bash shell.
He did bring up a good point with the, you know, it's cool. Some of the topics he talked about are really cool, and we really need, and people should talk about them. But however, the radio show isn't just the best format for them. And even with a presentation, when you're sitting there and you have a giant PowerPoint slide, you can start going into nitty gritty details about, you know, extensions.com for a certain AGI script with asterisk, for example, what we covered in our talk. But you know, we can't talk about that on the radio. And actually, speaking of our asterisk talk, we've had, you know, two or three emails with people asking us to do our asterisk talk on the show. So we may have to do that at some point. Someday when we're totally devoid of content.
Of course. And also, actually, somebody called me today and inquired as to whether he could do our he could give our asterisk talk to his user group of some kind. And I forget exactly where he said it was, but...
Wow.
He actually wants to borrow our slideshow and our codec demo file and give the asterisk talk to some user group.
Oh,
so
cool. Can we sit on there on, like, a VoIP
on.
Phone and say, hey, can we heckle them from the audience and sit on VoIP phones?
I think I'll give the guy a call and I'll ask him that after we do the show.
Yes, I think that would be very cool. I'm glad people are enjoying it. Anyway, let's go move on to the next email. This one's from Iron Geek, and he says, in episode 102, Stank said he could mention hacker meetings on BivRev Radio to help groups find more folks. Do Black Ratchet and Strom Carlson plan to do the same? If so, I'd like to mention... I'm not sure if this is... I'm veering off here. I'd like to mention LUCS, and I'm not sure if it's pronounced Lux or something, so we'll just say LUCS. Anyway, getting back to the email. We are a group in the Louisville, Kentucky area, which gets together at least once per month. We meet on the first Saturday of the month at specified place at 6 p.m. This month it's August 6, 2005 at Cafe 360 on Bardstown Road. Could the group be mentioned sometime? We have a site at http://www.lucsociety.org. And thanks, Iron Geek. And, well, first off, I'd like to send apologies to Iron Geek for not mentioning this before, but this is the first time it showed up in the inbox was, between last week's show and this week's show, so I couldn't really help him getting on before that. But, it's kind of obvious that we read it.
I can't hear either of you guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Oh, looks like Strom's faded out. This is the glory of doing internet radio. Look,
no.
G.I. Joe, looks like you're going to have to pick up the slack.
All right, so I'm going to pull open this email. go ahead.
Nope, Strom faded off here. We'll continue on and wait till he pops back in. Like I said, well, this is kind of obvious since we just read it, but, we'll be glad to mention groups that are having meetings. Sadly, we didn't do much good, you know, this month. But we do have an announcement section. It's kind of smooshed between the main topic and the shouts, in case anyone ever noticed. If anyone has, like, a tech-related meeting or, you know, some other thing that sort of a geeky get-together, drop us a line at radio@binrev.com for a few weeks beforehand, and we'll try to ease you into the schedule. We'll try to at least give you shouts. I try to announce, like, the monthly 2600 meetings, mainly because, you know, they have an official schedule, first Friday of every month. However, if you're just starting out or you want a special shout or something, you know, like an influx of people, feel free to drop us a line. Hello, party.
Hello, party. I'm sorry about that. I think I'm the victim of a botched handoff.
Ah, yes. This BinRev Radio brought to you by T-Mobile. So, yes, we were just talking about...
You're dropping my docs, Ratchet.
Sorry, pardon me. Well, technically, Sank, we always talked about voice pulse and new phones, so...
That's very true.
Anyway, moving on to the next email. You missed it, haha.
Oh, no. What was it? I seem to recall that the date he gave was, yesterday or something.
Yes, the date he gave was Saturday or Sunday, and like I said, I couldn't really mention him, but... Well, like I said, we'll gladly give shouts out to people who send in their stuff in because we have that wonderful announcement sections. Anyway, we're repeating ourselves.
Yeah.
And you missed out because you dropped off. So, ha ha ha. And our next...
Well, screw you, T-Mobile.
Our next email is from I'm going to think his name is Didier, D-I-D-I-E-R. And it's, hello, Black Ratchet and Strom Carlson, I like the new show. About your scheduling issues for DEF CON by phone, why did you use a local database that could you had to load and update yourself? Couldn't you connect to the DEF CON schedule, supposing this is available in a machine-readable format? And to answer his question, there is a machine-readable data source for DEF CON by phone, and it would be the main DEF CON schedule page. However, it was in static HTML on a giant table, and it was... I looked at it, I tried to play with it for a while, and it was a bear to parse. I really eventually just decided to enter it all in by hand, rather than try to figure out some, you know, insane way to parse the entire thing. Because I eventually said, you know, if I enter it by hand, I'll probably get it a lot faster than if I actually had to write a parser for it. You know, and plus, you know, this page was not updated at all during the convention. It was, you know, part of the reason why we actually did DEF CON by phone in the first place. You had a static schedule. We had a set of schedule on the web page. We had a static schedule on the paper programs that we got. And they just weren't cutting the mustard. So that's why we just created DEF CON by phone, if you were paying attention to our presentation. I know they have another source that runs on RSS feeds, and like they have closed circuit TV announcements, this wonderful thing up in the main room that shows you the schedule. And I'm sure that's a lot easier to interpret, and hopefully we might get access to it next year, because we're going to try to plan a little more and hopefully get on the planning committee.
Yes. Oh dear, I'm running out of gasoline.
No, we're going to get to hear Strom fill up his engine. That's wonderful. Basically, but you know, we decided, because it was very much hurriedly implemented, and we really didn't inform about it until about a month or two before the convention. So we decided to, you know, suck it up and do our own system this year. And next year we hope it's different. We're going to try to hope Mike it into the planning committee, and we may ask them to allow us to develop some kind of integrating scheduling system so that, you know, their internal tracking system, the web page, the RSS feeds, closed circuit TV, and most importantly, DEF CON by phone, they all sort of run off the same database and everything is updated. So you adjust the appointment for, you know, you adjust the time for one of the talks and everything gets updated at once. It's close to instantaneous. Also, next year, I'd like to
bring to mind a new concept, CPO, Central Point of Ownage.
Yes, well, okay, we won't get into that, and we won't try to point that out to people, but... I'm sure the evil people are already thinking about it, and now the non-evil people aren't. Thanks, Strom.
Oh, yeah, anytime, Ratchet. It's my pleasure.
Yes. So this is what we refer to in the industry as a single point of failure. The database goes down, and the entire schedule gets mucked about. Also, I was thinking, and hopefully next year we're going to also have Hope by phone. Two conventions, two coasts, two databases, two numbers. Two penguins,
one
two servers.
Strom's jaw on the floor.
Yes, and hours upon hours upon hours of recordings of Strom's voice.
Yes.
Yes.
Speaking of which, I discovered, remember the DEF CON by phone outtakes disc that I had talked so much about and then said I thought I forgot to bring?
Yes.
Well, it turns out they were just in the back of my car. So.
They were in your car. I am completely shocked. For those of you who don't know, every time I talk to Strom, essentially what it is, oh, where's X? Oh, it's in my car. And I always picture this car to be like this red VW minibus that, like, you know, was full of shovels and rakes and implements of destruction. But no, it's this little, you know, Honda coupe.
It's a sedan, thank you very much.
Oh, it's a sedan? Oh, sorry. I really don't know what difference between a coupe and a sedan is. I think maybe
a coupe is a two-door car. A sedan is a four-door car.
Oh, see, I'm not elite with the cars. Okay, finally, we're going to wrap up with some culture from Excalibur. We have, you know, this might be a first on Ben Rev Radio. At least it's a first for us. I was streaming today. I heard your segment about the 9-year-old certified Microsoft girl who wrote Bill Gates a poem. I thought since you became jealous, not that you have any right to be jealous of a man who became one of the most richest men ever and because of computers, not to mention he was the most famous geek ever to live, I should write you a poem.
We get a poem written for us? Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm tingling.
Oh, really? You too? Oh, okay. Well, I'm hopefully I'm going to do it justice. A poem for thou, whom hang with a cow, and here's of a girl, the genius Pakistani Pearl, who wrote a poem for Bill Gates. No poem for thou, whom hang out on Binrev. Sad you may be, so a poem written by me shall appear in your inbox cakes. And this is a poem by Excalibur. And I'd just like to say, I hopefully, I'll put people on speakerphone so I can hear it clapping. Yes, that was very nice, Excalibur.
That was me clapping while driving at 65 miles an hour over an interchange.
Goodness. Binrev Radio.
Risking my life. Congratulate the author.
Yes, Excalibur. We'd just like to send mad shouts out to Excalibur. And I'd like to say that we both enjoyed that. I find the metaphysical imagery that was quite enjoyable. Quite frankly, I'm touched. I really am.
Yes, and interesting rhythmic devices, too, which seem to counterpoint the surrealism of the underlying metaphor, which, It was good.
It was good. No, but I do have a question. I mean, if the poem is for me, why is Strom a cow? Because apparently one of us is hanging with a cow. No. Or the other question is, where am I the cow? What does it mean?
Well, I did just drive through, I think it was Kalinga or something, and the place, I stopped to get out to get, like, a snack or something, and the place literally smells like cow dung all the time.
Ew.
Are these
happy California cows that I constantly see PSAs for on TV?
Yes, these are the happy cows that come from California. Although, I don't know if those are dairy cows or if those are cows for beef production. But here's the million-dollar question. If we do have listeners in Kalinga or some equivalent town in the Central Valley of California where to a Los Angelino like myself it smells like cow dung, do you, living in Kalinga or wherever, get used to the smell and actually not smell it after a certain period of time?
Oh, I'm sure they do. I mean, it's the same way as you can't smell your own poop when you go to the bathroom.
I can smell my own poop when I go to the bathroom. I can certainly smell my own poop when I go to the bathroom. I don't know about you, Ratchet, but I certainly
I guess you're... I mean, there was a giant discussion once when... Me and my friends and I got completely bombed out of our skulls during an occasion of drinking. And we all had the discussion that none of us could smell our own poop when we went to the bathroom. But I guess Strom's the exception. So, G.I. Joe, how about you? Can you smell your own poop?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so...
I think Strom is the exception.
Yeah, I always assumed it was rather, you know, difficult. I mean, you know, when you're sitting there, you don't smell it. I mean, if you walk out and you come back in, you smell it, but... Okay, we're going to go in. We're just going to move. We're going to move on here because this can go nowhere.
We have gone too far.
No, we haven't gone too far. Okay. But at the same point, it's just something we don't want to go.
Wow, there are two entirely separate mobile stations. Each of them have the exact same price for regular unleaded gasoline.
Well, that makes sense. Are they on the separate sides of the freeway, or are you on the freeway anymore?
No, I just got off the freeway. They are on separate sides of the little access road here.
Where exactly are you right now? Can we have a location update?
I don't know the name of the town I'm in. I'm just north of the Grapevine on Interstate 5.
Did you hear it on the Grapevine?
Zooming via satellite? No, I don't know.
Well, look at your receipt after you pump your gas, and we can get a location update then. Because right now we're going to. I guess we can move on to show and tell. So
we're also going to risk life and limb again by actually filling up with gasoline whilst talking on a mobile phone.
Wow.
Which apparently you're not supposed to do.
No, you're not. It's just because it could spark. Ooh. This is the effort that Strom takes to bring everyone Binrev Radio. It's a touching display of humanity.
Yes. Your card will begin fueling.
Anyway, let's go into show and tell. Do you want to start, Strom? Because you had the busy week. I didn't do anything.
My busy week was I hung out with Mr. Mark Spencer of Asterisk fame.
Yeah, no,
credit, not debit. Okay.
And so I know you went to some conference. What conference exactly did you go to?
There was a VoIP developer conference in South San Francisco in which I helped Digium do exhibiting. And I helped Digium do a little bit of setup for Linux World San Francisco. However, I am actually going to be out of town next week, and so I'm driving up to Las Vegas on Wednesday. And since I figured that, I can speak inherently. I figured that since I was going to be driving on Wednesday, I didn't want to drive from San Francisco to Los Angeles on one day and then drive all the way to Las Vegas on the next day, so I left early.
Can you not drive from San Francisco to Las Vegas?
Well, you can, yes, but I have to repack my clothes and everything.
Ah, true. So, G.I. Joe, did you do anything interesting for your show and tell?
Nothing interesting.
Nothing interesting?
No, I just...
It smells vaguely like old fish here.
Just working, you know.
No. Yeah, essentially that was the same. I went to my 2600 meeting on Friday, and other than that, my week was rather unplugged. I hardly hung around the forums. I made like a few postings here and there, but nothing in. I went on a few day trips, and I finally my big accomplishment this week. I finally sat down and I read Harry Potter. That was my big thing, and I'm sure people are cringing in the audience right now as I finally admitted that. And I
haven't read the books yet, so that's one of the things I intend to do.
Have you read any of the books?
Read none of the books yet.
Oh, shame on you. Shame on you. For shame.
For reference, I have just filled my car up with 10.776 gallons of regular unleaded gasoline, which cost $29.95.
Holy crap. How much does it cost per gallon out there?
Regular unleaded gasoline right here is $2.77 per gallon.
Yikes. I thought I was bad with $2.38.
You lucky bastard.
Yeah, I guess I am. Didn't Blakoff say at DEF CON that was like, you know,
one seat? Yeah.
Yeah, Blakoff said at DEF CON in like Minnesota it's 180 something.
It varies a lot here.
I am at the receipt's kind of all screwed up, so I can really read it. It says, I think it says, Lebec, California. Wheeler Ridge, Lebec, California. LEBEC.
Ta-da! That's where he is right now. All right. Well, so we're going to have specific show topics. Let's see. We're going to go into a very interesting topic this week. I really don't want to say it, but it's kind of how to become a hacker. I really don't want to give it that topic, but I guess, you know, if it talks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and
better.
Yeah, for lack of something much anything better. I really thought about this one. I like to give a forewarning. This is really going to be very basic stuff. You know, for those of you might complain that this isn't techie enough, just remember, you all had to start somewhere. I did too. Strom did. G.I. Joe. Heck, even Stank had to start someplace. So for someone just starting out and, you know, possibly just stumble across this podcast, this is for you. And as we always said, you can't please all the people all the time. That's basically it. Actually, this is very interesting with Sean's email in the beginning. Oh, well. Hi, Sean. This is for you.
Yes.
So,
hello, Sean. Welcome to your episode, your very own personalized episode of Binary Revolution Radio.
I wouldn't go that far because I was probably pissing him off because it was not techie enough. But, Sean, you know, like I said, we all had to start someplace. Feel free to skip for the next, you know, 45 minutes or so.
I'll do a simulation of what that should sound like.
Or you can just sound like a really bad cell connection, but... So, I guess one of the most common questions that, you know, new people ask is, how do I learn to hack, or how do I become a hacker? And typically my usual response for this is, you know, grow your hair out and stop showering. And that just... And, of course, I know a lot of people who don't do that, and there are some very well-kempt hackers out there, but we won't get into that. And plus, you know, too many people do that already, so don't push the stereotype.
Yes.
So, for, you know, first off, what is hacking? It's kind of hard to
explain. Interstate 5 South is what
I Interstate 5 South is not hacking. Hacking.
Yes, it is. That's what hacking is. That's what the sign told me.
The sign said Interstate 5. We'll move on.
You'll have to excuse my nonsense. I think the highway is starting to make me go mildly delirious and insane.
Yes, that happens to me all the time. Well, okay, let's start off first. What isn't hacking? Hacking is not breaking into computer systems. Hacking is not owning people. Hacking is not defacing websites. Hacking is, you know, not any of that nonsense. Hacking is, you know, for the most part, figuring out how things tick, taking stuff apart, putting it back together, and I guess generally a pure love of all things technological, I guess you could say it is. Wow, I sounded like Strom there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you know...
You do.
Yes. And plus, you know, something that I always like to say, hacking is not an end to a means. Hacking is a means to an end. You know, someone does not become a hacker for a reason. Some people become a hacker on the way to doing something else. I guess you can kind of say it's, you know, hacking is very zen-like. People have a reason for hacking. It's a way, you don't actually set out to become a hacker. You set out to do something else, and on your way, you become a hacker doing it. And actually, first off, let me do my disclaimer here. The word hacker, I never try to use it as when describing myself. Like, you know, someone says, oh, he's a hacker. Oh, you know, I'm a hacker. No, I never try to say to myself, oh, I'm a hacker. No, I'm someone who likes computers, and, you know, some people say, oh, he's a hacker. And I look at that as something that it's a compliment to give somebody, but it's not really something to use on yourself, unless you're really egotistical, at which point I really don't want to talk to you. Of course, you know, Stank Dog calls himself a hacker all the time, so there are some exceptions to the rules.
Doesn't your business card say freelance hacker?
Yeah, but that's a joke, so...
My business card says phone freak, but that's in all seriousness. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I say freelance hacker and phone freak, but at the same point, you know, it, for anyone who's ever read the book Snow Crash, which if you haven't, you should really should, the hero's business card says freelance hacker. So, it says last of the freelance hackers. Anyway, getting back on topic, you know, there's no real one way to become a hacker, like I just said. You know, hacking is so, like, multifaceted. There's, like, 15 ways you can do it, and there really are a million ways you can get there. You know, hackers, you know, hacking is just, there's no real way to describe it. It includes hardware, it includes software, computer security, computer support, system setup, you know, system breakdown, a million things. People can't say, you know, to become a hacker you need to do X, Y, and Z. You can't say that because, you know, a person who is very talented like hardware, I think the person who really always pops to mind when I think of a hardware hacker is Acidus. He's gone a completely different path than the way I have, and he's gotten very talented in hardware, and I really don't have a first clue about an analog digital controller if it smacked me in the face. And at the same time, I'm sure there's points, you know, Acidus might not know stuff about the phone system. I've never met him, so I don't know. But I like to think that I know stuff about it. But, you know, there's no real way to say, you know, here's how to become a hacker. But I'm going to try to go over things that, you know, usually start people down the way of, you know, technological yumminess. And I guess the first thing we should say right now is, you know, wipe Windows off your computer and install Linux. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I don't mind Windows so much. So.
I don't mind Windows either. And, you know.
it does what I need. If you maintain it, it's not really a security problem.
And also, I know very talented people who use Windows, and I'm going to include G.I. Joe in one of them. I will admit, I use Windows.
One of the people, One of my friends who I respect very much at my 2600 meeting is in fact a Visual Basic programmer. But no hate there. Windows in and of itself is not evil. But the cool thing about Linux is, as far as I'm concerned, at least when you're learning, you know, it allows you to get down into the nitty-gritty of how things really work. You know, Windows, you click a button and it works. And that's fine for a lot of things. But, you know, Mom and Dad, for example, who wouldn't know what to type in a bash prompt even if you told them. But that's actually not true. I did at one point walk my mother through repartitioning a disk with a Linux boot disk over the telephone.
And didn't we talk to your dad on how to reconfigure Samba one evening?
Yeah, we talked to my father through reconfiguring Samba. So parents, even not the most technical parents, can actually be talked through Linux if you just tell them what to do. But, I mean, you know, at least the way I see it, it's all fine and dandy to have a button that you press to do things for you, but if you don't understand what's going on when you press that button, then, you know, you're definitely losing something. You really have to understand the underlying system in order to embrace it and love it.
Again, it's that whole taking stuff apart and putting it back together again. Also, you know, it's not just saying that Linux is a bash prompt and is only, you know, an 80 by 25 console. There are very nice graphical user environments for it. And, you know, if you're not afraid, you know, if you're a little bit worried, you know, keep Windows, repartition the hard drive. I'm going to send out something here. It's called something called Automated Download and Installation of Operating System. It's a live CD. It's for repartitioning your drive, and, you know, it would allow you to...
Adios?
Yeah, adios. Yes, exactly.
that's a cute acronym.
It's the coolest program, too. I'm going to send a link out here before I forget. That's tinyurl.com/83VictorPapaFrank. I actually went into old school phonetics there, but anyway, it gets the point across. And so...
That's Foxtrot, Aspreth.
Yeah. what it does, it allows you to repartition your hard drive. So if you want to keep Windows on there, that's fine. It's no problem. Some people like Windows, like G.I. Joe. I like Windows, too. I'd like to admit that I am a Visual Basic programmer at work, among other things. And, you know, it allows you to keep your Windows partition on there and install Linux. And there are graphical user environments for Linux. And, you know, it's point and click. Two of the distributions that seem to be all the rage these days. One of them is called Ubuntu. That's Ubuntu, and it's ubuntulinux.org. And what that
is... I think the pronunciation of that one is Ubuntu.
Ubuntu?
Ubuntu, I think.
I always heard it called Ubuntu. I don't know. I've heard it like two or three people.
I saw a sign as an aside here. I saw a sign just now that said Fort Tejon, exit 1 mile. But I wasn't paying attention. I thought it was Fort Tron at 1 mile. Anyway.
He's got your docs now. He sees your license plate.
Ubuntu, I think, is the anglicized, Americanized pronunciation of Ubuntu. But I could be totally butchering it as well. So.
I don't know. Technically, I don't think it. I wonder if they have a pronunciation somewhere on their site. That's your homework this week, folks. You know, find out how to pronounce Ubuntu, and send a sound clip doing it.
Maybe we'll assemble them together into some sort of really interesting audio presentation.
We'll go load it up into a synthesizer and make everyone sing Ubuntu.
Yes.
And for those of you who like pain, there's another distribution out there called Gentoo, and that, I believe, is gentoolinux.org. I could be wrong. Like I said, that was in my old show notes. I don't have that on my new show notes right now. And what that
when
means
in doubt,
is that's a more...
Google.
It went in doubt, Google. Just Google Gentoo Linux. It's your first link right there. I think if you Google Gentoo, it'll
that's
come up as the first
G-E-N-T-O-O.
Link.
G-E-N-T-O-O. Again, G-E-N-T-O-O.
And what that is it's a basically it's a more hardcore distribution, I guess you could call it. What it is essentially it compiles everything on your system, allegedly giving you a performance increase. I've never played with it. I don't know, but I'm sure that it's a little more complicated to set up than Ubuntu. For those of you who are starting with Ubuntu, or however you pronounce it, I don't know. It's essentially you pop it in your CD-ROM, you boot up your computer, and it's four or five clicks, and you're installed. It's amazingly easy. I use it on my laptop mainly because Debian, what I used to use, had some problems with it when I wanted to install it and did not fully support my laptop because it was last new. And Ubuntu picked it up fine. It was just amazingly easy to install. I was literally in shock. And I really have no complaints about it. I have some small complaints, but, you know, nothing, just more minor annoyances for myself because I used to come from a Slackware environment, which is another distribution you can try, but I'm really starting to fade away from my Slackware zealotry. So let's get into why Linux is better than Windows. First of all, Linux is free. Can I hear a free song?
F-R-E-E-E-E-E-E-E-E. Free!
You sound like one of those old air sirens you have on fire trucks. You really did. It was amazing.
Wow.
And, you know,
GSM does wonders to free.
Yes, I guess so. Linux is, as we just stated, Linux is free. And, you know, for example, you know, you have an old box sitting around. Linux basically runs on anything beyond a 386. If you have a 386 or above, Linux will run on it, given enough coaxing. Sometimes you'll have to do some technical, you know, jiggledy-pokery doing to it, but it'll get running.
Jiggledy-pokery, that's it.
Yes. Did I say that correctly? I think I did.
I think you said jiggledy-pokery or something. Yeah,
oh.
Jiggledy-pokery.
Whatever enough. You can get Linux working on anything. And the fun part about Linux is that when you can install it, you don't have to worry about piracy. You can just install it everywhere. You know, two or three boxes setting up. You got that old P100 that your mom threw out and put down in the basement, but she put down in the basement and didn't want to throw out. You can install Linux on it. You can toss it in the corner, toss a network card in it, and you can do that. And one of the first things I did when I got my Linux box is I had my desktop, and I set up a Linux box that I could beat up against, and one of the first things I really started doing it is I wanted to be the elite script kitty, and I started just hacking away on it. Like, I set it up in a default configuration and see how many times I could break into it. And for those of you who want to try to start getting into that, this is the best way to do it because it's completely legal. You are running the box. It's on your own little private network, if you have one, and you can just bash it till the cows come home and not worry about the feds coming in at 2 a.m. to say, you know, hi, surprise.
Or alternatively, you can bash it till the feds come home.
Well, no, because the feds won't come because it's your box. That's the best
part. No. Until the feds go to their own home. They leave the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and then they go to their own apartments in wherever, in Virginia, whatever.
Very true. So
enough of Strom totally bashing the cliche.
And, you know, this, like, it was really cool. What I did is I went to a site, and I'm going to shout shouts out to it. It's called Packet Storm Security, and it's packetstormsecurity.org. All one
Los
word.
Angeles County line, yay!
And we're going into Los Angeles now. How far away is how much longer do you have? Just out of curiosity.
I think I'm roughly 80 miles or 70 miles outside of Los Angeles. I just hit the county line.
Holy crap!
So.
Los Angeles County is huge.
Yes, it's very big.
Yeah. Anyway, Packet Storm Security is a great site for those of you who want to get interested in security. What it is. Basically, they have all kinds. It's a bit of a security blog, and they have all kinds of, you know, pre-made exploits. Basically, they just troll the mailing list, such as Full Disclosure and BugTrack. We'll get into those later. And what they do is they just grab all the exploits that come by or any new tools that come out and just mirror it. And it's all there. It's all there at your fingertips. You can go in and say, like, you know, show me, you know, I said you know again, and I'm probably said it like 15 times. go in, you know, show me exploits that's, you know, for Linux from, you know, 2.4 kernel running Apache, and they have everything subdivided. It's simply amazing. I don't know who runs it, but they do just an amazing job. I actually fell out with it for a while, and I've really just started getting back into it, and I completely forgot about it. I just completely forgot how amazingly cool it is. And that's a fun way to do it. Also, there's like the other things. Cool thing about Linux is that if you want to get into programming, there's free compilers for everything. There's free integrated development environments, so you can have everything nice in a nice, you know, graphical user environment, like we were talking about earlier. That because Linux has one of those, or you can just, you know, sit on a console and bang out stuff. And it looks like Strom fell off. It looks like LA County doesn't have the best cell phone reception. Oh yeah, there's G.I. Joe.
Yeah, hang on. You know, I'm not sure if I have the Linux expertise to.
Oh, there's also a free stuff for Windows too. I mean, have you ever played with oh goodness, I'm drawing a blank on the name. There's also free IDEs out there for Windows. It doesn't necessarily need to be Linux. I'm just the Linux evangelist.
Right.
I enjoy Linux. I play with it all the time. And I try to use it. I'm really desperately trying to move my work over to it, despite the kicking and screaming of my IT department, who don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And
right, yeah. I don't have anything against Linux. I really haven't used it all too much. I really have had the opportunity to use it and haven't had an extra box to use it on necessarily for the time I've been using computers. So,
yeah.
I mean, it is something. It's not. I'm not anti-Linux or anything. I just haven't had a chance really to look into it too much.
Yeah, and for that, I mean, G.I. Joe brought up a very excellent point. For people who don't have extra boxes kicking around, and something I really should have looked into are free shell accounts. There's stuff out there. I believe one of them is called silenceisdefeat.org. I really should have set tiny URL that. I believe actually Sean is from there, if I'm not mistaken. Our email there earlier. Let me go pull that one up. I don't think I copied the signature over. But there's free shell accounts out there. There's Linux. There's There's Linux. I think there might be Unix stuff out there too. It's just really cool. Yes, that's silenceisdefeat.org. And that's free Unix shell accounts. And, you know, if even...
Oh, my gosh! This will go down in binary revolution history. Black Ratchet has just said org instead of orge.
Yes. I'm trying to go away from that because apparently I caught some flack at that for DEF CON. All you silly people who can't interpret alternate spellings or sayings or everything. Sure. Pronunciation. Thank you. Yes, it's almost midnight here on the East Coast, and boy, am I tired. There's like free shell accounts out there, and this is really just starting to turn into a giant rant, isn't it? Oh, well, just bear with us. The other thing you want to do if you want to be, you know, getting back into the hacking thing, you know, get involved with the community. The really thing that brought me into the community right now was forums.binrev.com. It's the BinRev forum site. It's a really good... I constantly sing its praises. I probably sound like a really big old lackey. But it's just a really friendly forum site. I mean, I hang out there. And for the longest time, I started there around, I guess I could say April or May. I started lurking there last year. And I figured, you know, I'd sign up for an account. I'd probably last for at most a month. And because like, these things don't really... keep my fancy too long, and here it is over a year later, and like 1,050 posts for me, and I'm still there. It's just a really friendly site, and I've met a lot of fun people out there, you know, such as Strom Carlson and G.I. Joe. Take a bow.
I'm bowing as best I can given the circumstances.
Yeah, true. Don't bow, Strom. We'll just do a virtual bow for you. And
if I bow hard enough, I'll hit my head to the horn. You know, like there we go.
as Strom goes careening off the road on I-5. And I gotta say, it's also another. And from there, I mean, forums.bitrov.com, I met Stank, I met the entire DDP, I met a lot of great people, too many to even talk about.
Lots of great people on the forum.
Yes, and from there I got Stank finally convinced me to go to my local 2600 meeting, and I've met tons of more people get there. I've met the kid, Proctologiste, Buck Rogers, just a ton of good people over there. And if I didn't actually start hanging out on the forums, I would have never even considered going to my 2600 meeting because I had a bad experience there about 5 years ago. It was very, how shall we say, elitist, and I won't go onto a rant, but it's improved, but not too much. Getting on to it, what it is if you get involved in the community, just if you start talking to people, you'll pick up tons of stuff. You pick up tons of stuff at this meeting. My meeting this week, someone brought a program from Black Hat 2005, and we actually all looked up the part where they tore out Michael Lynn's presentation. And I actually have photos of it. It's pretty funny. It goes from like 799 to 826, and there's a nice little 16th of an inch section missing. For those who don't know, there was a major problem with Black Hat 2005, and someone did a presentation that Cisco did not like, and feds were involved, and lawsuits, and all kinds of crazy stuff. But, I mean, strong.
Google
people that wonderful
Cisco
people.
Gate.
Yeah, Cisco Gate, that's exactly what it is. Just Google for that. I mean, Strom, you run another group you want to get involved with is, if you're in your area, is your DEF CON group. Boston doesn't have one, but Strom is actually involved with DC213, which is in Los Angeles. Oh, and Strom apparently didn't want to talk about DC213.
Thank you.
Strom's involved with DC213 in Los Angeles, and that's another group. What they do is they're a lot like 2600, except they're, I won't say a bit more formal, but they're a bit more organized. Every month they have a talk on it, and I'd really like to get something started in Boston. I just don't have free time because I've been too busy with DEF CON, and now I have this. And it's just, it really goes on with a lot of stuff, and I'm having trouble articulating my words, pardon me. It's just great to actually sit down, meet a bunch of people that just share the same interest with you, and you can just sit there and you can actually talk about, we had a nice little discussion on Michael Lynn's talk, and basically we all complained about how Cisco was a bunch of assholes. And it was just great because, you can't talk to your friends about that at school or at work if you don't work with a bunch of techs. I mean, I can't go up to my boss at work who has no interest in technology and say, hey, did you catch that Michael Lynn Cisco date thing? She'll just look at me and say, what?
Exactly. Yeah. T-Mobile is irritating me right now. Anyway, to get back to, not to cut in or anything, but I went to my local 2600 meeting, and I've met a bunch of really great people there. It's pretty much my closest friends are from that meeting these days.
And
really awesome bunch of people.
And I was discussing how you were in charge of DC213.
Oh yes, I'm now in charge of DC213, which is the Los Angeles chapter of the DEF CON group. So if you are in Los Angeles, please come to LA2600 and DC213. That's DC213.org, and LA2600.org for directions and times and whatnot.
Hold on, let me go shut up on 2600 here.
Yeah. However, I just want to put as a disclaimer that although LA2600 is a great, great bunch of people, and I'm sure Boston is as well, your local 2600 group, it may be a mixed bag. People are different from place to place. I just came back from San Francisco, and I decided, hey, I'm there on the first Friday of the month. I might as well see what the SF2600 meeting is like. And it was definitely a different crowd of people. I'm not sure if it's just because I wasn't used to the way they behave or whatnot, but it certainly seemed to be a slightly more bizarre group of people compared to Los Angeles. But certainly not any lower in quality.
Now, speaking of which, the Boston 2600 website has completely changed, and I completely missed that. Wow. I should actually talk to them about that. Anyway, Boston2600.org, that's Boston2600 site. And, you know, exactly what Strom said, Blake Ops, who's our friend from Minnesota, we should have him on the show sometime. He went to Minnesota 2600, and basically they don't exist. He went to the meeting place, and it is gone. And, you know, if it comes down to, if there's none in your area, like, for example, you do live kite outside of a major metropolitan city, you know, spread around, go around, try to set one up yourself. You know, talk about on 2600, email yourself. I believe it's on the back of the 2600 magazine, which I haven't actually picked up yet. That's the summer issue is out, just so everyone knows. You know, set up something in your town or set up something in the closest major city you can get to and see if people show up. I mean, you might have to go out and plaster some, you know, coffee shops or something, say, like, you know, like technology, let's discuss it, 2600 group in East Bumfuck or something. And, you know, just set up there, do it yourself. I mean, take some initiative. You don't need to be dependent on everyone else.
Exactly.
Apparently, Boston 2600's website has been sort of April Fooled or something, because they now have Boston 2600 Heavy Industries, which has been acquired by Symantec as of 7/2/05.
Ah, charming.
Yes. And I mean, you know, the best, like I said, the best thing about the meetings, and there's a mosquito in my room and I'm going to try to kill it. The best thing about the FaceTime, and haha, I got it, I'm like Mr. Miyagi. The best thing about, you know, the meetings is that, you know, like I said, you can talk about it, because you normally don't meet each other every day, and you don't meet a bunch of techs usually. You know, a lot of you are in school. I'm sure you don't have a lot of techie friends, or you may have a handful who are in computers, but it's just, you know, 10, 20 people, sometimes more, sometimes less, depending on where you are, and everyone who just usually has very similar interests to yourself. Radio, computers, certain people have telephones. I'm part of a very small freak minority in Boston 2600. But it's just, you know, sit there, you can just shoot the breeze and enjoy people's company who you like. And I've met a lot of good people there, and I've only been there going there for like 2 or 3 months, and I've had more than a group of friends. I hang out on the IRC channel all the time, and it's great. Are you active in 2600?
Here's an entry for the Idiots of Interstate 5 log. This minivan in front of me is in the leftmost lane, and it has just left turn signal on. And I'm receiving a call. I'll be back shortly.
Boy, this is wonderful. Ooh, apparently we were just received a call too or something. Anyway, are you active in your 2600 group there, G.I. Joe?
Well, I am also in Minnesota, so there is no 2600 group.
It's See, you and Blake Lopp should get together and establish your own 2600 groups.
Yes, I have, for some reason, I have not gotten together with Blake Lopp yet. I've known him, he's been around for a while, but it just hasn't happened yet.
He's been around since about the same time I did. I mean, he was one of the first people I really ran into on the forums and befriended. And, I mean, this is what it is. I mean, you meet people. I mean, all these people that are going around that, you know, you live in your area and you don't know they exist. And, I mean, you go to your 2600 meeting and you meet them. That's the best part. So this is just turning into a long-winded rant on Linux and 2600 groups and... And that's what it is. It's just, it's a great time. It's a great place to meet people and just generally talk tech. So moving on the notes here. The other thing that you really want to, I mean, to become a hacker, what you really need to do is you need to rip your computer apart at least once and figure out what all little bits are. There's tons of tutorials online. And just figure out everything is. And I think a really good place for this is Wikipedia. Is there any other things you can pop to mind, G.I. Joe?
Well, I know when I was when I was knew lots about computers and I wanted more RAM or I wanted a bigger hard drive in my computer, like computer magazines would help a lot. I remember I used to get a magazine called Smart Computing, and that I'm not sure if it's still around. I think it is. It's called Smart Computing or something, and it will go through step by step, and it'll explain with pictures and explanations on how you change the RAM, how the RAM works. And I mean, even really anyone can do that. But even if you're just a 12-year-old,
I mean, computers these days are incredibly easy to use. Yeah, computers these days are just really incredibly easy to use. Compared to what I started out with, I mean, you know, the wonderful thing about Sims is that you had to add them two at once, and BIMs you had to add one at once. Yep. You won't slice off your hand when you open up your case anymore, which was actually always kind of fun in my idea. It was kind of like, you know, defusing a bomb of some sort.
Yeah, because we all know that you know, contacts on memory chips and whatnot are always made more effective by the addition of a little bit of blood.
Well, computers run faster with blood, that was the thing, and I completely did not hear you pop on for that one. I guess my phone cut out for a second.
Yeah, computers always run faster with blood.
That's what the overclocker secrets are. I mean, all these people who actually want to do water cooling are just, you know, great vampires who want to cool their stuff with blood.
55 zone ahead. 45 zone ahead will be enforced. What the hell?
Will Strom make it to Los Angeles on time? Tune in on our next episode of Binary Revolution Radio.
Down, down, down. Or something.
Yes. Actually, I was thinking more of general organ music. But you know, that's what it is. Just you need to rip your computer apart at least once. I mean, my computer right now is missing a front bezel because all the crap I have piled into it will not allow the computer to close anymore. I bought interesting story, just a little sidetrack. The way I bought my computer was I had a friend who was currently working – who at the time was working at CompUSA back in June of 2000 for a summer job. And apparently some electrician moron decided to accidentally wire up one of the display cases that this computer was sitting on that I own up to a 220-volt circuit. So it ate about 220 volts for a minute or so, it's a couple of minutes or so, and completely fried the power supply. So my friend called up and said, "Hey, Ratchet." Of course, he didn't say that. He said my real name. I have a computer here, and it's currently in. It's according to my manager, it's broken. He won't listen to me because I know what's wrong with it. But it's the power supply is completely fried on it, and it's just blown out because it would eat 220 volts for a while. It's currently sitting in our, you know, damaged good case for about 50% off. I think you really want to buy it because he knew I was in the market for a new computer. So I show up. It normally cost about $700. I picked it up for I don't know how much I picked it up for. I picked it up for 50% off, and it was an absolute steal. And I invested about $100 in a new power supply, and it works like a charm. It's been working for 5 years, knock on wood, and it will continue to work and not kill anything.
Is that real wood or is that particle board?
This is real, honest-to-goodness wood, nice stained plywood.
Oh, good.
This is
I have actually had more hardware trouble with computers than I care to talk about, but my computer has been sitting without sides on it for months. I moved my desk, then I moved my desk again, and then I realized that my computer was kind of loud, so I decided to try and find the sides and see if that made it quieter. And I realized, and 45 speed limit, and I realized that I had actually had the sides sitting at the location of the computer before the previous move. And I think, and so occasionally you'll see my computer sitting there with a hard drive hanging out the side of it, or you know, something plugged into it in a bizarre way. I think right now I've got that video screen I bought from Blake because he didn't include a DC power supply, but it did include some cable he hacked up where it plugs into your computer's power supply, the Molex connector. I have that hanging out of the side of the computer right now.
Well, actually, one of my friends for the longest time actually had his computer on his desk completely naked. Essentially, it was a power supply, a hard drive, and a video card. And he ran that for the longest time. Plus, another one of my friends, he had an MP3 server, which essentially was the same thing, except no video card that everyone accessed over the network. And basically, what they did is they exported a X display. This is kind of technical for people who don't know Linux. They essentially made it so that the Linux version of WinAmp popped up on their own computers, and they controlled it from there. And if you just looked up in the corner of the room, you saw this motherboard and two speakers and a power supply, and a hard drive. And it was highly amusing.
It would be really cool to do something like that, but mounted on the wall. You know, just have parts mounted on the wall there.
Ooh, and, there we go. That would be really neat. And so, that's really what it is. It's just, you know, figuring everything out, figuring out how it works, and just mecking about with it. And, you know, that comes in a lot to, and it works in everyday life. You just diagnose something, you figure it. Like, for example, I think G.I. Joe has a story about, you know, his fun thing he found was net zero.
Yeah, well, yeah, I always think it's fun. I don't know about hacking or whatever, but you have what you have, and you can just bang away at it, mess with it, whatever. Oh, yeah, we were talking, I don't remember how I got thinking about net zero. But this is, for those of you who probably remember, when the internet was free, or I should say the World Wide Web connection was free, you had Net Zero, you had Juno, and on and on. And after the bubble burst, yes, after the bubble burst, of course, you know, they're starting to go into business, and, So more and more, you're getting more and more ads, and Net Zero always had this big, ugly toolbar. Anyway, so desperate for revenue, they started this program where you would connect to the internet, but before you could access anything, it would download a TV commercial, and you would have to watch that TV commercial. Unfortunately, they so badly programmed this, for some reason, didn't work on my computer. It would connect to the internet, start to load up the TV viewer, the commercial viewer, and all you had to do was just stop it from loading, just end program it, just terminate the program directly, and you'd have unrestricted internet access, which necessarily doesn't sound too exciting, but I mean, for someone like me who at the time you had barely any internet access and it was always with a huge, 800 by 400 pixel banner, it was just one of the most exciting things I had ever had. It just always seems little things like that is kind of what can make up a hacker lifestyle, I guess you would say. Just messing with what you have, finding little quirks that you can use to for your own enjoyment.
And that's exactly what it is. I mean, you basically surmised it right up there. And the other thing I just want to toss out there is, you know, you said it yourself, I don't think this is a big thing. It is. I mean, if it's a big thing to you, it's definitely a big thing. You never let anyone put something that you say down. Even if it is, like, if someone comes up to you and says, only noobs do that. I mean, you start someplace. You figure it out yourself. Never let someone take that away from you. It's what it is. And, I mean, I personally find G.I. Joe's thing really cool and really amusing, and I find Net Zero incredibly stupid for even thinking that, you know, that could possibly happen. There's about 15 different ways you can, you know, code around that, but, you know, just some people are really stupid and don't do that. And, I mean, technically, we've hardly scratched the surface. This just turned into a really long rant, and I tossed out a few websites out there, and I hope that I enlightened a few people and, you know, at least got them, you know, at least interested in what this is. So
if you're interested also in a little taste of hacker culture, go to the Hacker Jargon file and browse through that. That's it. I don't have a tiny URL available for this, but it's at www.catb, that's C, Charlie Alpha Bravo, charliealphatangobravo.org/tilde echo Sierra, with R.
Romeo.
Echo Sierra Romeo / jargon. And if you go there, there's the Hacker Jargon file, which contains, among other things, a portrait of a typical hacker and a very, very big lexicon with lots of examples of how hackers speak. And if you read through that, you'll pick up a lot of the culture and a lot of the mentality of a good hacker, not a pathetic one, but of the good ones.
Yes, and just for everyone's sanity, I'm going to a tiny URL, another link to it. It's not the one that he gave, but it's the same file. It's mirrored all over the place. It's tinyurl.com/charlie6julietoscarlima. Boy, I really need to put that tiny URL plug-in on my Firefox browser because I've just been using it so much for the show. I never used it before. But
I need a way to tiny URL things from my head. I think that would be the best.
Who doesn't?
Yes.
So I guess we'll just sort of wrap up. And
CHB has stopped somebody.
Uh-oh. Dun-dun-dun. Is it Ponch dun, dun, dun. And... oh, goodness. What was the other? Damn it. Anyway, I'm dating myself. None of these little kids will know what the heck I'm talking about. It was an old 60s and 70s TV show that was around in the early 80s, I guess. So I guess we'll kind of wrap this up right here. Announcements. I'm going to once again shout out to the LUC Society.org by Iron Geek. Apparently they meet at least every month. Check out their website, www.lucsociety.org. And the site of the week, I'm going to make that the New Hackers Dictionary at tinyurl.com/C6JOL. That's Charlie 6 Juliet Oscar Lima. Like Tom said, it's a really good site, and I actually have the printed edition of it because I found it so cool, and it's just it's really fun to read. You will lose hours reading it. It's a work productivity virus when I first discovered it. I think I spent the entire day just flipping around and clicking little hyperlinks and reading the various definitions they've come up with. Some of it is dated, I will admit, but it's a very interesting insight on original hacker culture. Email, as always, is radio@binrev.com, and the closing music tonight...
Well, I've got some announcements, too.
You have some announcements, too? Okay, go right ahead. Sorry, I was just kind of flying on autopilot.
Yeah, my announcement is that I may or may not be on the show next week. I'm going to be on vacation. I will attempt valiantly to try and be on the show at some point. Wow, there's something kicking up an impenetrable cloud of dust on Interstate 5. Anyway,
Do you want to go?
I'm sorry. No. I'm okay. I'm through the cloud of dust now.
Okay.
But I will attempt to join you guys for the show next week. If not, I wish you all the best of luck. And I don't something or other. Yes, I'm also 36 miles outside of Los Angeles. Yay. And those are my announcements for the week. My site's also back up for those of you who missed it because I got linked. Oh, and we should give a shout out as well to Brian Krebs from WashingtonPost.com.
Yes, shout out to them.
Awesomely cool reporter. You can visit his blog online at WashingtonPost.com/securityfix, which will, I'm sure, kind of URL that as well. And
I think we kind of URL'd it last week. We mentioned it last week on the show. Go read it then.
Yeah. Anyway, he linked to my site from his blog, which caused my bandwidth limit to almost immediately be exceeded on my existing ISP, which was the impetus for me to change to our new server. So, kudos to Brian.
It's on a bright, shiny new server with tons and tons of bandwidth.
Yes. Oodles and oodles and oodles.
Yes. G.I. Joe, do you have any announcements?
I do not. Nothing to announce.
How about any shouts?
I'll give a shout out to people at Make Magazine. They put out a nice ad, mostly ad-free magazine, and that's something I was going to mention, but I didn't think of it. It's pretty much a real-life hacking, all aspects. There's lots of cool electronic stuff that people should check out.
Yes, I very much covered the software side of things. I think we hardly scratched the surface tonight. I mean, this is just a very, it's a complete drop in a million gallon bucket. It really is with all the stuff we covered. I don't know. I don't think the only announcement I think I have actually is I will be attending in September the Vaughn Conference, which is a voice over IP conference in Boston. If for free people who have FWD or free world dial-up, that is, you get a free admittance to the showroom floor, and I think I'm going to be there at least for one day and just mucking about and hang around and trying to get free swag.
Yeah,
and that's September 20th through 23rd.
Also, I'm giving a shout to Mark Spencer, who was an awesome host in San Francisco this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great time hanging with him this weekend. And I will also, I guess, announce now AsterCon, which is the Asterisk Convention for all of you Asterisk freaks out there, is going to be in Anaheim this year from October something to October something else. I think it's in the middle of October. I'm not sure, but
I think it's mid-October.
It is in October. Yeah, mid-October 2005 in Anaheim, California, and I will be there. So,
yes. I won't.
Hope to see you all at AsterCon, and I think that's about it for our show this week. As always, radio at binrev.com. And our closing music is, Ratchet, tell us all about it.
Our closing music is a track called Recursion by a band called J-E-G-A. Juliet Alcohol Golf Alpha. Once again, get it from epitonic.com, which is a wonderful site. And I guess we will see you next week, same hack time.
Same hack channel.